Dave?
Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a reading that's listed in the bulletin. There were two additional readings that were added to that. So the first additional reading that was added to it was Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, about the wise and the foolish builders. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. The second reading, which is also an additional one, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then the third reading is the one which was listed in the bulletin, 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, which is, for I resolved to know nothing which I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
If we could have the kids come forward. Come on up. How are you guys? Well, guess what? During the week, Mrs. Grossman and I got to go to Chicago. Chicago is a big city not too far from here and a lot of big buildings. And we got to go to a place down there. We got to stay overnight and we were in a hotel. And the next morning we walked out. You know what we saw across from our hotel? That's called a tower. That's Trump Tower. And it's down in downtown Chicago. And it was huge. It was just a huge, big, towering tower. I guess that's what a tower does. It towers. And this thing was big, and it was so big. And I stood at the bottom of it, and I looked up, and I thought, wow, that thing is really, really big. You could barely see the top of it. It was so tall. And I thought, how does that thing even stand? Because there's so much up in the air, and what would happen if the wind blew on it? Like Mr. Rokokin was saying, what happened if that thing just came crashing down? So they must have had a pretty good foundation that this thing was built on. So I thought, that's really neat. So I want to build a tower just like that one. So here's my version of a tower just like that one. Here's my tower. What do you think? Does it look the same? You think it'll stand like that one? Well, let's just see how we do with this thing. What do you think of this? Look at that tower. Is that a good tower? You think that'll stand in the winds? You sure? Well, let's find out. That didn't work. The winds blew on it and it fell right over. Well, maybe the problem is that my foundation isn't good. Maybe I shouldn't have it on the small side. Maybe I need a bigger foundation. So that looks better, right? Do you think that'll withstand up a little bit better? Let's find out. Looks pretty good to me. Should we build that in downtown Chicago? What happens if the wind comes from the other direction? What do you think will happen? Let's see what happens. That's not good either. Well, I guess I don't build a very good tower because my base, my foundation, doesn't work very well. Well, Mrs. Grossman builds a much better tower than I do. This is her tower. It's pretty cool. It has a flag and everything. You know what? This tower has a big, wide foundation. Watch what happens. I can do anything I want. It's not going to fall over. I can push it. It's just solid because it has a good base and a good solid foundation. And that's what Mr. Rakokin said, is that if you're going to build something, you better have a good base and a good solid foundation. Well, if we could change the picture up there to our next one, we have another thing that we're going to be talking about here in our church, and it is a foundation. You know what our foundation is that we're going to build on? It's Jesus, and it's his cross. And the foundation that we're going to have that is going to be a solid foundation that will never fail, that we can build anything on and we can build everything off of, is going to be Jesus. That's our solid foundation. You think you can remember that? We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the kids, in the big guys' sermon today. So why don't you come on forward? We got a treat for you. Here you go. There you go. There you go. You're welcome. Here you go. There you go. He's got. Okay. First Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Would you bow your heads with me? Lord God, I lift this time up to you, Lord, and I just pray for your presence and your power and your moving and your anointing, Lord, and I just ask that you would move in this church, move in the hearts of your people, Lord, and I pray that we would learn anything that you have for us to learn today, Lord. Anoint our hearts, our ears, our tongues, our words, and may your grace and your mercy come forward from your people this day. In your name I pray, amen. Well, to start off with, I wanted to draw reference, as we did the other week in your bulletin. You're going to see, once again, we have the little insert called the ministries, the four ministries here at Lamb of God. And if you drew your attention to this, you're going to see in the upper left-hand corner the logo that is up on the screen here in front of you. Now, it's kind of interesting where that thing came from. It's part of our Exano effort that we had here. And to be honest, I don't even know why we requested it at the time. I can't answer this either. I don't know why we didn't accept it. It kind of got stored. It got tabled. We didn't use it. This logo, which is what we were talking about, the four ministries of the Lamb of God, for whatever reason at that time, it's not what we were looking for. And it got tabled, stored, and a lot of time went by. And actually, it was kind of weird. I was just having a weird dream, and I kind of woke up. And this logo, which I had not looked at for a year and a half, is just burning in my mind. And I started looking for it. I knew I had it somewhere, and I found it. And there it was. And this thing really speaks to me, and it means a lot to me because where Behold is, it's on the cross. It's on the crossbar where Jesus was nailed. That's where Behold is. And I think it's so important to know that everything we do in this church is going to be based on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, if you look on this sheet, one of the things we have in here is the second one is to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's our scripture verse today, is to know Christ and Christ crucified. Well, in order to understand why this is so incredibly important to come back to the cross and to realize that this is important, I think we need to go back a little bit, and let's go back to the beginning. Because in the beginning, God created man. And he said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image and after his likeness." So what does that tell you? It tells you when God created man, he made man in his own image and his own likeness. In Genesis 5, verse verses 1 to 2, it says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Think about that. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And then it goes on, it says, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man when they were created. So let's think about that for a moment. God created man in his image. God created man in his image, and that image reflected the likeness and the characteristics of God, of the God who created him. And he made man male in his image to reflect that likeness and the characteristics of him. And he made man female in his likeness that reflected the characteristics of the God that created them. That's how God created man. We also find out that God created man in a three-part, almost a trichotomy. He made man in body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a scripture reference to how God made man. He made man with a spirit and a soul and a body. Now, the body we all get, that's pretty easy. The Greek word for body is soma, and it is the entire material or physical structure of a human being. It's the physical part of the person. This is the part of the person that will perish, will die, will go into the ground, will return to dust. It is our body. But God also created man with a soul. The Greek word for soul is psyche. In Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The soul consists of the mind, which is the conscience, the will, and the emotions. We read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of God, things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or they are spiritually discerned. The Greek word, and in the Strong's Concordance, the word natural is psychikos. And psychikos means the natural of the mind or of the soul. And think of what this verse says. The natural man's mind, the natural man's soul cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. God also created man with a spirit. The spirit, the Greek word for the word spirit is pneuma, and it means breath. In the Strong's Concordance, it says wind or spirit. That is what the spirit of a man is. It's the breath of God. In Numbers 16, verse 22, it says, Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits, little s of all flesh. In John 20, verse 22, he said this, and he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's a capital S. So we find out that the spirit and the soul, we get the flesh, that's easy. The spirit and the soul is a little bit more difficult because they're intertwined, okay? They're kind of wrapped around each other in something the Scripture calls the heart. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit and both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is what the Word God does, and it makes reference to the way man was created in the image of God, body, soul, spirit. The problem is, when man was first created, there was no problem. The spirit of man and the spirit of God were united. They could commune with one another. They could connect. I call the spirit the God connection. That is what connects man to God, is the spirit. The man's little spirit and the God is spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. God is spirit. When man sinned, when Adam sinned, death came into the world. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. The connection between God and man through the spirit was broken. That brings us back to the cross and the importance of the cross. Now, I'm going to read a section from you from the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'm going to read from 3 to 14. I want you to listen, if you can, in Romans chapter 6, 3 to 14. I want you to listen for what happened at the cross. We need to comprehend how marvelous and what a miracle happened at the cross. Verse 3 of chapter 6 of Romans. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay? I want those words to sink into you. When you were baptized, you entered into the death of Christ. Verse 4, we are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Okay? Our old self, our nature, was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now, I want to stop a minute and think about that concept. Jesus was born without sin. Without sin, there's no death. So at some point, you need to ask yourself, how is it even possible for Jesus Christ to die? Because if there is no sin, there's no death. Well, Jesus Christ died because of sin. He died because of my sin that was put on him at the cross. So that caused his physical death. He took upon himself my sin and your sin and the sin of the entire world. And that caused his physical death. Why? Because he wanted to restore the connection that had been broken in the garden with sin. Finishing on in verse 9, it says that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I love the beginning worship. Did you see the picture of the guy standing there? What were hanging from his arms? Chains. They were broken, but they were still hanging from his arms. Okay? This guy's walking around with broken chains on his arms. Lazarus was raised from the dead. You know what Jesus commanded the people around him to do? Take the death clothes off of him. He came out of the tomb. He was wrapped in these shrouds. And Jesus says, take it off of him. No longer walk with those death shrouds on him. Verse 7 of Romans 6, for the one who died has been set free from sin. Okay, this is a spiritual law we're getting into. The one who died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, so that you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin, alive to God. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought back from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when we received that in our baptism or whenever we did receive Christ, I received Christ when I was baptized. Okay, that's when I received Jesus Christ. I received his death and resurrection through that event, through that baptism. You know what happened? The connection that was broken with the sin in the garden was restored. It was restored. Prior to this, it was impossible for me to commune with God. It couldn't even be possible. Martin Luther said, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength come to my Lord Jesus Christ or believe in him. These words are foolishness to those who don't have their spirit connected back with God. They can't believe them. It's impossible. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The connection between man and God is restored through the death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through faith in Jesus. You know what else happened? Sin's power was broken. Those chains you saw were broken. Prior to what happened, prior to this connection being restored, we were slaves. We had no choice. We were controlled by our sin nature. This power was broken. In Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, it reads, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So you have the law of spirit and life and the law of sin and death. These are spiritual laws that govern every person who walks on this earth. It doesn't matter if you are a believer or a non-believer. The point is you're all created in the image of God, body, soul, spirit. Your life will be governed by one of the two. And the law of sin and death was broken at the cross. The chains were broken. The power that sin had was broken. I no longer have to be controlled by my sin nature as I was before I knew Christ my Savior. But I do have to ask myself a question. Then where does the power come from? Where does this unbelievable power of sin in my life come from? Because if Jesus broke it at the cross, and he did, not if, he did, why is my life impacted so much by sin, by habitual sin? Where does this power come from? And the only answer I have is will, free will. Okay? Now, the power of sin is a power that I continually give to this sin. But I need to understand something. What used to be impossible for me before the cross now is possible because of the cross. I no longer have to be bound by this sin. I don't have to walk around with broken chains anymore. I don't have to do that. Sin's power is literally broken because of Christ. However, how am I going to resist it? There's two ways I can resist my flesh. I can do it in the power of my flesh, and I guarantee you I'm going to fail. I might make it for a while. I might be able to white-knuckle it for a while, but eventually I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall. Or I can do it in the power of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 16:1, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Romans 8:9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. Guess what? If you are able to confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, Scripture says you have salvation. And I'm telling you, you would not be able to do that if you did not have the Spirit of God in you. It'd be impossible. You could not believe that. I no longer have to resist in the power of my own flesh. It says in John 14:16-17, Jesus is speaking. He says to his disciples, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now understand that. The world cannot receive it because it's spiritually discerned and their hearts are separated from God because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit of God is in us. And therefore, I can now resist and I can turn to God in the power of the Spirit. I can repent. Repentance is not contrition. Repentance is not feeling bad or sorry about something. Okay? Repentance is something you do. Repentance is a turning away. I turn away from one thing toward something else. I'm walking toward something else, and that is walking toward God. We need the Spirit of God. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared among the disciples. In Luke 24:45, it says he opened their minds to the Scriptures. Now, in another verse, it said he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is before Pentecost, guys. Jesus breathes on the disciples, and they receive the Spirit. And because they receive the Spirit, their minds are open. They can finally understand what all these Scriptures meant. They couldn't receive that. They couldn't understand it without the Spirit of God. There's another thing that connects me to God now. So we talked about the power of sin is broken. We talked about our connection with God is repaired. But now I get to do something else. I get to share in the sufferings that once came upon Jesus. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sakes not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. 1 Peter 4:14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of the glory of God rests on you. There's something that happens when we are persecuted and we suffer for the sake of Christ. We draw closer to Christ. We are sharing in his suffering and we are growing closer to him because we are standing with him. We are sharing the pain in Christ's heart for his lost church. We feel for it as he does. We share that pain. Our hearts get burdened for those we know in our lives who just don't know the Lord. It's an unbelievable burden. We carry it because Jesus carries it, and we feel his burden. And we also share the pain in Christ's hearts for believers who doubt the power, and they live in such fear. We don't have to live in fear of anything anymore. We don't have to be afraid of anything because we have the Spirit of God in us, and we have God. We have Christ. He has overcome all things. To surrender to God's will is to surrender to the cross. I love the hymn, Be Still My Soul. And in the third verse, it says, Be still my soul, though dearest friends depart. Now, these dearest friends departing just don't have to be people who die. They could be people in our lives who are leaving us, who are moving away. David Wilkerson talked about the pain in his heart as his children grew up and went in the mission field. It broke the heart of David Wilkerson because they weren't going to be near their children anymore. But that's him, Be Still My Soul, says, then you shall better know his love in his heart. You're going to draw closer to Christ because you're going to feel this pain from being a Christian. The cross member on here is Behold. That is the main ministry, one of the main ministries. I'm going to call it the main ministry of Lamb of God Lutheran Church. We had a saying, nothing happens till Behold. Okay? None of this other stuff is ever going to happen unless we behold Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It's a relationship with him that we enter into. And out of that, everything else is born. Well, I'm going to tell you, behold is never going to happen unless we understand and come to Christ crucified. It all begins and it ends at the cross. Christ crucified. I mentioned earlier, in the children's sermon, Kim and I had an opportunity to go to Chicago last Thursday. We went to a Carrie Job concert, which was kind of a unique experience for us. And it was really good. But I had to ask myself a question. What was I looking for? Was it an experience? Was it a worship experience? What do we look for when we come here on church on Sunday? Is it a worship experience? You know what the problem with an experience is? It ends. It happens, and it's over. Now, I happen to do a lot. I really enjoy Carrie Job's music, and what I really love to do, she spends some time at the beginning of the concert explaining why they're using lights and all these other things. And she had to explain to people why she was doing it. And in my mind, I'm going, I don't need any of that. I just need a light on Carrie Job because I love to watch Carrie Job lead worship. I love to watch that because it reminds me of what I read in the Bible about David dancing before the ark of the Lord. And one thing I learned about Carrie Job, the way she is on stage, she lives her life that way. There's nothing unique about this, the way she leads worship. She is completely abandoned to the Lord in all things. And it tells me that there's something else I can enter into with the Lord, not as an experience, but as a way of life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's a song that Carrie Job wrote, Speak to Me. And part of the chorus is, Speak to Me. I'm listening. It's something that is being promoted here in our church, if you want to use that word. There's a book going around about two chairs, learning to hear the voice of the Lord. Speak to me. That was basically the chorus. Speak to me, I'm listening. Deep, huh? She did. She just said, you know what? We're not going to sing. We want you to listen to God. We want you to hear God's voice. To know Christ crucified is to come to the cross and to understand that the connection has been restored. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, my spirit was given life by the power of his spirit. The spirit of Christ now indwells me. I can see the Lord. I can come to the Lord. I can know God. I can know Jesus and the power of his resurrection because of the cross. Everything that I think I need to die to has already been crucified. I was praying and I was struggling with some things in my life. I said, Lord, this needs to be crucified. And the Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Jeff, it already is. It's already been crucified. Doesn't need to be crucified again. Repentance is what's called. Turning away from one thing, turning to the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit. I can stand in the newness of life of Christ. I don't need to fear anything. There's no fear in our relationship with God. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I belong to the Lord. And he can and will protect me through all situations. Now, God may very well choose to allow me to go through things. He may choose to have me lose everything, as other people in this book, in this Bible, have lost their very lives. But there's no fear that I need to hang on to associated with it. God is in complete control. Because Christ is crucified, I can come into his presence. I can actually talk to God. I can hear him. God wants to talk to you. Okay, this isn't anything mystical. This is the way we were created in the garden. Adam and Eve walked in fellowship with God. They talked. Read the early accounts in Scripture. Cain, who killed Abel. God talked to him. Cain, what did you do? Cain heard the voice of God. Okay? God talks to his people. He wants to talk to us. To know the heart of God is to know what he suffered for and what he was buried, what he's burdened for. We can share into that. That's what this cross is, and that's why it's so important. Nothing happens in our life until we come to the cross of Christ and we can see Christ and Christ crucified. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, come to me now. Lord, all that I am, I lay before your cross. All the burdens that I carry, you never meant me to, Lord. I want to lay them down, Lord, and I want you to take them. I don't want to pick them up again. Lord, I'm not looking for an experience. I'm looking for a relationship. I'm looking for a new way of life, Lord. Change my life, Lord God, through the power of your Spirit. Lord God, speak to me. Speak to me. I'm listening. Amen.